In a way of review, very briefly, in lesson one, the first page is kind of one of those, there's not a right or wrong answer. For those who are not here Wednesday night, I wish you would just take lesson one, this first page, and go through it when you're at home and read these questions. And it's basically just questions for you to ask yourself, to try to see where you're at, your mind, where you're at on some things. Just some thought-type questions. We looked at that on Wednesday night. Then on page two, we spent a fair amount of time looking at some scriptures here. In fact, we're not done on page two. We're about halfway through that. And the whole idea here, really, is we are trying to understand our responsibility in regard to personal evangelism. I mean, the very fact that we're calling it personal evangelism says something in itself, that we each have responsibility in this regard, and that we have to make evangelism personal. That was kind of our theme on some things Wednesday night. That it's the responsibility of all Christians, and that we have to be busy and active in the effort of trying to convert souls to our Lord. And so we talked a lot about attitude, about what our attitude needs to be with regard to our service to the Lord, and even as far as trying to influence others for the cause of Christ. One of the first points we looked at on this page was from Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And there were some good comments made with regard to what this is and what that really means. I mean, there's a lot that can be said with regard to how much we should love the Lord and what that will cause us to do. If we love the Lord truly more than anyone or anything, we are going to be busy about His service because, of course, that is just what we do. And what He wants us to be involved in, what He wants us to do, is what we'll be busy doing because we love Him that much. Our responsibility in example is something that we talked about. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And so we discussed some, the fact that in that text, in that passage, Jesus is describing His disciples in such a way that kind of illuminates their character to us. He said in the previous verses, He said that they were the salt of the earth. We talked some about what that is and all that that means. He said they were the light of the world. He said they were to be full of good works. And so we talked about just what that means for us. If we are to be the disciples of Christ, then well, the same thing needs to be said of us. God or the Lord should be able to say the same things of us. And so that puts some responsibility on us with regard to our example to the world, that truly we must be a light to the world. And that's going to require some effort on our part. The third point is where we take up today's new material, our preparation in Bible study. If you think about the previous points, our attitude toward God and our responsibility in example, some of those things can only happen, or we can only be effective in those things if we've made some preparation to do so. You know, I just don't know that many things in this life that we can do or be very effective at if we've not made some preparation for it. Have you thought about that? I mean, I think we understand that in almost everything. I mean, if we're playing sports, we know that we have to practice. We have to be at the trainings every week, and we have to prepare ourselves physically and mentally even to be, you know, to be good at sports. In our work environment, we understand that we may have to go to school and learn some special skills to excel in the work environment. Most of the time, in fact, we have to continue going to school to learn new things so that we can be efficient and effective at the work that we're doing. We understand that. I mean, almost all of us in the work realm have at some time or another, we've had to be away somewhere and go for some special training or go to some classes somewhere. We understand that. And yet somehow when it comes to Bible study, it almost seems as though we think that by osmosis somehow these words flow into our mind. Now, we know that doesn't work in the realm of anything else. Why do we think it works that way with Scripture? You know, when you look at the text, we find here at 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, you help me with this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to a worker. Oh, I helped you on that one, didn't I? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, let's think about it for a minute. The text says, be diligent. King James says, study. What's the point here? Expand on this some. What is the idea? Be diligent. Effort. You know, diligence. We are going to have to approach study with diligence. It takes effort to get the job done. We understand that in the realm of anything else. We have got to get a hold of that with regard to the Word of God. I mean, I don't want an answer on this, but I just want you to think about it for a moment. How much time this week have you really spent in Bible study? I mean, when you were at home, did you open up the book? I know everybody's got a busy schedule. I know too well. I'm off to work every day, off to school every day. There's all kinds of responsibilities in the home. And yet what happens so very often is Sunday morning comes around and we're trying to find the book so we can have it in our hand when we walk into the building. You know, it's a universal problem, I found out. The idea of during the week spending some time in study, not losing track of even where your Bible's at, it's a universal issue. So I'm in the bush in Africa, in Zimbabwe, out in this little village. And I forget exactly what I was speaking on or what we were talking about, but it had something to do with Bible study at some point, because I made the point, and of course it's all going through an interpreter. You know, now some things are universal, it's just understood, okay? It's going through an interpreter, and I said something about the fact, you know, have you studied the Bible this week? Have you read God's Word? Or did you set it down after Lord's Day last week? And then today, you had to go find the book, and you went, and everybody laughed, because they knew exactly what I was talking about. That the book gets set over in the corner somewhere, and it just collects dust. Now we think of 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. If we are to be the people who are approved to God, there's some effort required on our part. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. What exactly does that mean? A worker who does not need to be ashamed. What should make us ashamed? Turn it around the other way. What would make us ashamed? Not being prepared. Not studying. Mm-hmm. Right? But this is something we can control. Yeah, yeah. Be diligent. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the concern that this verse is showing is that our concern should be to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too many times we go through life worried about pleasing men.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our time, we're trying to do that. And when he says be diligent, then we need it's not just staying active, but it's being careful.
Mm-hmm.
Things carefully that, as David said in the Psalm, you know, he made the statement, I studied your word and I saw that I was amiss, your word turned my feet in
mm-hmm.
the path.
Mm-hmm.
So we're careful as we study so that when we do meet face to face with God, that we're not, we haven't left something out, we haven't missed something.
Mm-hmm. Diligence is the thing that keeps coming to my mind here and the significance of this. Or again, as King James said, study to show yourself approved. You know, with diligence, we present ourselves approved to God. It tells us something about the work involved to get us there. And when we do so, we have no need to be ashamed, which on the other side, the adverse of that, we would say, we have every reason to be ashamed if we've not prepared ourselves. That's right. We would have every reason to be ashamed if we have not prepared ourselves in this way, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean, to rightly divide the word of truth? And what does that imply? Yeah, if there's a right way to divide truth, there is. It can be done in a wrong way, too. That is a powerful statement to me. And it's a scary statement, particularly for those of us who have some responsibility in, on a regular basis of teaching and in preaching the Word of God. I mean, one of the biggest fears that I would have is to say something, present God's Word in such a way and make some points that are wrong. And that can be done. We know that can be done. I mean, the very idea that it says we have to be diligent and prepare ourselves in such a way to be approved of God so we can rightly divide the word of truth tells us that it can be presented in a wrong way too. Oh, right. Not varying. That's right. Good point. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, and the idea of approaching it, you got me thinking on that, approaching it, recognizing what it is. I mean, you think about that. I mean, you know, there are some things that we can look at, we could even study and have some involvement in, and it's of some significance, yes. But what is more significant than the Word of God? I mean, we need to approach it with reverence. We might talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. To approach it recognizing what it is. Sure, Rick.
I was thinking of what the Hebrew writer said in chapter 5 about when he was criticizing those who should have been teachers at that point.
Right.
And he says that, by the way, I just read it, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice,
right,
have their senses trained to discern good and evil.
Exactly right. Right. So we have to prepare to be able to do that. Because truly, there are those who cannot discern right from evil. Okay, good thoughts. What else? So our preparation in Bible study is important in our standing before God and our ability to be able to present God's Word. You know, how much time do you really spend in Bible study? I mean, that's one of the questions here, and I'm not sure I'm exactly expecting you to answer that aloud. I'm sure glad you're back. I mean, not just for the material, but I'm thinking, like, she may not find her way back here. For those who are visitors, this is like our third week here. You know, where that GPS is a wonderful thing. And my phone, you know, I've run the battery down running that GPS trying to find out how to get places, literally. How much time do you really spend in Bible study? Look at some passages with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. These are all familiar passages to you. Nothing new here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Take your Bibles and go with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Quick summary of that. What do you say? What's the apostle telling us? Be prepared. You've got to get ready. You know, I saw a little thing this week about emergency preparation in your home. You know, the kit you're supposed to have at home, if the power goes out, if, you know, bad weather comes in, whatever. You know, a lot of folks have done that. Good thing to do. You know, making preparation in these things. And we might look at that and take that serious. Okay. Much more serious is the idea of preparing ourselves in the Word. What does it mean? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What's the idea? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're gonna hold him up high. He's holy. And because of that, well, then of necessity, then we're going to be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks us for the hope that's in us. We're going to have a reason to give answer because we have sanctified the Lord God. We've held him up high, separated. You know, so of course we're going to be ready. It should be kind of a natural thing that if we are the people of God, that we will have studied, we'll have prepared ourselves, of course we can give answer for the things we've done. Because the things that we have done in the Lord, we did because we knew this. Think a little further. Go to 2 Peter. Just a couple of pages over. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're just kind of thinking here our way through the idea of just how much time do you spend in Bible study. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. What comments would you make on that? Mm-hmm.
To the extent that we grow in knowledge, we grow in grace.
Mm-hmm. Connected together in an inconspicuous way.
It all goes hand in hand with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mm-hmm. and all your soul, and strength. Because if you really do love the Lord your God, you're going to love His Word and His revelation and want to know as much about Him as you can.
Just a few months ago, back in Tennessee, there was a couple that were converted, baptized. And you know, continued to study with them up until the point we moved, coming over here. And it was just so absolutely amazing to me, their desire, their thirst for the Word of God. You want to talk about study? Let me tell you, I mean, every day, you know, every day, 2 or 3 hours, study. They just, it's like they could not get enough. I mean, they had discovered something new to them. And it was amazing to them what the Lord has offered and what the Word provided. They could not get enough. And every day, I'm serious, every day, there was Bible study. They'd been Christians for 2 months. And Gabe came to me one Sunday morning. He says, you know, I'm really struggling getting through understanding what Revelation chapter 16 means. And I'm going like, I said, oh, Gabe, I said, I'm struggling getting through Revelation chapter 16, okay? And he said, well, you know, he just had some little questions about it. And he said, well, I'm almost done. I said, with 16? No, I'm almost done with Revelation, you know. I started in Genesis, and I've read all the way through. I'm almost done in the Bible, okay? 2 months. Christian, for 2 months. He's read Genesis to Revelation. I'm not going to ask us how many of us have done that, even though some of us have been Christians for years. Gabe had been a Christian for 2 months. And besides his other studies, just as kind of a side thing, he's reading through the whole Bible. Thirst, desire, wanting to be filled. Gabe and Melody. That's the way they were. And that's what we need to be as well. Let's look here. There's another point I wanted to make, but I don't remember what it was. The idea of beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the error of the wicked. That if we are not prepared, if we are not in the Word, Satan, we are easy pickings. We're low-hanging fruit. You know it? I mean, we're the first ones that Satan goes after. Because we have no defense. We are unprepared at being able to fend off the evil one. This is our defense. Peter just said that. We have to be able to give a defense. It comes from here. And the only way it's going to be a defense for us is if we know it, if we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Other thoughts on that?
Yeah. There are several places in the Psalms that talk about meditating on the Psalms.
That's right. To meditate. What does that imply? To meditate? Spend time. I mean, we're in it. I mean, it's on our mind all the time. Have you found that it's just hard to find time to meditate? I struggle. I mean, I do. I struggle. I mean, just to find time to sit back and to be quiet, to think, to read, to reflect, to meditate. I mean, that's hard to really be able to do that. David knew something about that. Another point was hand somewhere. Brent.
The word grow there is an active word, so it kind of shows you in the previous verse that if you're not growing, then you're falling.
Right.
It talks about falling there. So yeah. It also shows us that we need to be careful. The verse says, if you think that he's standing, beware of his fall.
Sure.
That's the word I think he's talking about here.
Yeah. Sure.
We got to stay in that word and let the word guide our footsteps and everything.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good thoughts. The other hand. Earl?
I was just thinking of this idea of defending the truth. Elaine and I have had conversations before about how spouses oftentimes will run down their spouse. Or maybe just women will run down men in general, or husbands. Men will run down their wives or wives in general, that kind of thing. And we as Christians should never be guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the church is the bride of Christ. If somebody speaks against Christ, if we don't come to his
defense, right? Yeah. Good point. That's right, too. Of course, we would want to come to defense of the gospel, it's who we are. I mean, the gospel defines us. And if somebody is running down the Lord, well, then that affects us. Sure it does. You know, the idea of growing here, Brent brings this point up too. You know, if you're not growing, you're dying. I mean, pretty simple. Anybody garden? I can't imagine any of y'all garden. You got a little bit of room. You know, we've not been able to find a house yet that would provide space like for a garden spot. We're having a hard time getting used to that. You know, it's kind of hard to ride that rototiller on a hill, you know. And if it's not a hill, it's trees, or it's both. And Sandra and I have always had pretty big garden spots. Last year was an interesting gardening year. We had a beautiful garden for about 2 weeks. And then the deer discovered our garden and easily decided they could clear the fence. And we had some beautiful corn and beans and peas that they enjoyed thoroughly. They don't care for tomatoes. They didn't eat the tomatoes. We had about 100 tomato plants. And I don't know why this comes to mind, Brent, but you're talking about, you know, growing. I mean, if you're alive when you're growing. And those tomato plants, they were very vibrant and green and beautiful and got very tall. And if you know anything about, you know, gardening or growing anything, once it comes to a certain point, it starts dying. I mean, it may still bear fruit for a while, but it starts changing. The color starts changing. The plant's getting old, and in time, it just kind of withers and dies. If we are not growing, we are dying. Pretty serious thought when you contemplate. If you're not growing, you're dying. So in faith, in knowledge, in understanding of God's will. Are you growing or are you dying? Best I can tell, there's only two choices there. You're growing or you're dying. Which is it?
Earl? The plant has no choice.
Beautiful point. That's right. That plant just reaches the end of its time and it's done. We choose to grow or to die.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good point. We can be artificial. Absolutely. Wonderful point. I believe, Les, you can expand on that for a short talk. You have plenty of opportunity with that. That's right. Beautiful point. Artificial Christians. You know, that, there's a sermon right there. You know, artificial Christians. You can go through the motions. You can look like the real thing. You can look like you're growing. But it's not real. You're just artificial. Good thoughts. Okay, I got another passage here. What's that? Yeah, yeah. That's right. I missed my chance. I should have said, no, Les, that was before my time. Hebrews chapter 5. Rick made reference to this here a moment ago. Hebrews chapter 5, the very last part of the passage here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Yeah, this is, you know, the inspired writer writing to those who are Christians. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I still don't really know among the group here who's been Christians a long time and who is not, but I would presume there is probably a good number of those of you here who have been a Christian for a while, and I think would fall into that category of should be qualified to be teachers, should understand enough about the will of God that you can tell others about what it is and what it says. The admonition here, or really the condemnation of the writer, is that you ought to be teachers, but you're not. You still don't know. You would still need to be taught the elementary principles of Scripture. Chapter 6, verse 1 would go on to say, but you've come to need milk and not solid food. We understand the analogy of that. You would feed a baby milk. Sandra and I have an 11-month-old granddaughter that if you haven't heard about, you certainly will. Over time, and Kinley is just a remarkable child. There's none like her, you know. But you know, she still drinks a lot of milk. But now she's eating a little bit of some solid food. Now, no meat, not at this point. She's still a baby. We understand how that works. It's the same thing with being a Christian. You know, we start off needing the milk of the Word, but if we only take in milk as time goes on, we're not going to get any strength, we're not going to grow. And I have found, you know, in different places, this is a real problem among Christians. Well, obviously so. 2,000 years ago, the writer was seeing this was an issue. It's no different today. There are those who have been Christians for a long time who really don't know the Word of God. What excuse do we have for that? None. We have no excuse for that. It's just a very interesting and very serious warning right here. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It is only when we put into practice that which we have studied, that which we have come to understand, that we hone our senses in such a way that we can discern right from wrong, good and evil. And it's something we really need to be serious about. Other thoughts, ideas? Yes. Wow.
And it just struck me that the all of these things are, we're talking about personal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They have to come from us as a person.
That's right.
As an individual.
Individual responsibility. Yeah.
And,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It requires a personal relationship with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hear all the time, I listen to a lot of radio, such preachers, you know, across the world of Christendom and such, and they will claim salvation for all these hundreds of thousands of people because they had a radio program. Those radio programs, people wrote back in or emailed and said, I prayed along with you,
mm-hmm.
You prayed the sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they're accounted as being saved.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There was a radio voice.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can't learn things from a radio voice, but the important thing is that we
To be teachers.
To teach other people. It's not all done with television.
To be teachers.
Right.
That's the whole point of the study right here. I mean, that kind of wraps up with the whole point of the study here is that we might learn to be better teachers and be prepared for that and understand our responsibility with that. We've only got a very short time left. I hate to stop and do this again, but let me see if we can get our class material worked out here before our class time gets away. Okay, I didn't hand out material to everyone. Some of you are sharing right now because we didn't have enough to hand out. And I don't know who is sharing and who is not here. Now, does everybody have a folder? I know everybody does not. There are some who are still needing some, okay? You needed one more or two. One more. Okay. And here. Okay. Some of you have folders, and you have lessons 1 and 2?
Yeah.
How about y'all? There you go. And how many do we need down there? Do y'all need one? Okay. All right, good. I saw some hands back here in the back. Okay, for y'all here. Do you want to share or you want your own? You can take your own. Okay.
I'll trade you an empty folder for a folder with 1 and 2.
There you go. That's got 1 and 2. Okay, now, you have 1 and 2 lessons. You have nothing. Wow. Okay. Okay, I need.
I have
an extra one. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, we're going to have to make up some more here very quickly. I need 1 and 2. I need 1. Okay, let's see. How many do we need? I'm going to have to make some more copies. This is so confusing. We will never get this straight. Okay, now you have 1 and 2?
We have 1.
These? Okay, these have nothing in them. We're going to have to fill them up.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Barry, there's a lot of sadness in this world. Okay, that's lesson 2. How many do you have lesson 1 and 2? Yeah, lesson 1. Okay, so then this will get you up to speed. And you just have 1 folder. We need to get some more folders. Sister Smith, what do you all need? You need 1 and 2?
Yes. And
a folder.
1 folder and 1 more lesson. Oh, well, I can make copies at home.
I can get some more here. Okay, Barry, I'm going to owe you some more lessons. There you go. Just lesson one. I believe right there. Now, y'all got everything? You got one and two. Okay. Okay, who else is missing lessons? I owe Barry, I know. What do you all need? Lesson, you need a folder. And what have you have? You lesson one, then you need this. Okay. That'll have you current. Okay, good. Who else is needing lessons? Anybody else here? Just Barry's row. Okay, all right. All right, good. All right, we'll try to get some more of these put together. Phew, just in time. Okay, Lord willing, on Wednesday night, we're still on page two. We've still got one more point on page two, then we're going into lesson two. Thank you for your good comments.